Cool. So this is the last sermon on Proverbs. That's good or bad, depending on how you look at it, because I'm here. I'll be honest, I have spent the last couple of sermons in the parents' room. So I'm sorry if I touch up on things. I did watch them on YouTube. But a proverb is a short saying of truth or advice. I think we know that. But thankfully, the Bible has a book with a lot of short, general statements of truth and advice, which actually makes writing a sermon particularly difficult. And so I'm going to talk about one verse to start with, and it's really short. So if you think, one verse, I'll start with that. We'll start with Proverbs 10:11. Now, I did a bit of like looking. There is eight. Blue Letter Bible told me there is eight verses that pretty much say the same thing, but I chose this one. Also, I took a leaf out of Pastor Craig's book, The Amplified. It helped. So here we're going to read it in The Amplified. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, and his words of wisdom are a source of blessing. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence and evil. It's pretty short, it's pretty tight, it's sharp, it's pointed. When I first look at this, I come to an observation, and maybe you've had this observation before. Why do Christians always refer to fountains, wells, rivers, and oceans? All the time. Christian music particularly is likes this, right? We sing songs here, Lost at Sea. We sing a version of We Come Alive in the River, although we decided We Come Alive in Jesus. What about that Hillsong song, Oceans? I looked it up, right? Every verse has some reference, right? It says, oceans deep, keep my eyes above the water. Your grace abounds in deepest deep, deepest waters, and let me walk upon the waters.
Lighthouse,
yep. There's so many, right? I don't want to just focus on water. That I do work for Melbourne Water, but I'm not focusing on water, just to be clear, right? There is something paradoxical, it's a big word, about water. It's something so essential, yet something so dangerous, right? We don't let our kids play in the pool by themselves because we know the dangers of water. Hey, that word paradoxical, I just had this flashback of when I was maybe 14, 15 in a youth ministry, and this guy came, I was in Darwin, this guy came up from Sydney, and he said, if you use the word paradoxical in an essay, in an English essay, you'll get an A. I didn't use it and I didn't get an A, but I mean, maybe the Anderson kids, you can write that down for your next essay. I don't know. If you need some help, I'm here. I've got big words. But water is an essential requirement. We need it to live. And you may know that you can only last 3 to 6 days without water. It's essential for the food, for the trees, for plants. It's essential for animals. And most of us have never thought about where our water comes from. Yes, Reese does, and that's his job. And I'm starting to, because that's also my job. But if we don't have a burst pipe or a blocked pipe, if we don't have an issue with an emergency situation where the water's turned off to our house, we don't think about it. Do you guys remember 2022, the end, mid to end 2022, we had to boil water? Remember how inconvenient that was? And anyway, I find it very interesting that in 2020, that was in the peak of that C word, I still remember that because we're all sitting at home boiling pots of water and then not even really drinking it because by the time, anyway. And in Melbourne, we're doubly lucky because we have some of Australia's best water. In 2022, what did I say? The Sylvan Dam was voted Australia's best water. So here we are in Melbourne with Australia's best water. Oh, I skipped a big bit. Hey, and also, hey, this is another thing. We've also had water on tap for a long time. Even Bob had tapped water when he was little. Even Bob. And I'll tell you why. Sorry? Because, I'll tell you why I know this, because in 1857, the first reservoir was constructed in Melbourne, and it is Yenyon Reservoir, just up the road. It doesn't matter, Bob, there was water in Australia in a pipe. Look, for the purpose of my story, it's true. I find it really interesting, and this is all just stuff that I find interesting at work at the moment. Conveniently, I just chuck it in here, so why don't we talk about it? Before we had the taps, the ability to just turn on the water, we had to drink from a source. We had to drink from something. There had to be a well, a stream. Melbourne was built next to the Yarra for a reason. The water that we got sustained our life. And here in Proverbs, we're saying that actually, our speech can also sustain us. And it says it is a fountain of life. So much so that it'll either bring violence or evil, or it'll bring a blessing. And wouldn't it be wise to make sure that our words bring life and not violence? Again, thankfully, the book of Proverbs, full of wisdom. Now, I'm just realizing I'm really picking on the Andersons, but I'm going to mention it again. Reese spoke at Dream Team yesterday. And if you missed it, like Des and Emily said, well, Des missed it. So if you missed it, you can catch up on the recording. But we've spoken about this. Reese and I have spoken about this before. The purpose of praying. And the example is when Jesus resurrects Lazarus. And he goes and he sees the family and he goes to the tomb. And he prays. And he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew you would always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Even Jesus speaks words just for the purpose of encouraging each other, just for the purpose of people around understanding what's going on. Clearly, he had the value that he is speaking life, because he could have just said, come out, Lazarus. There's another Proverbs, which I think points to this even further, Proverbs 18:21. I don't know if I gave it to Emily, but that's okay. The tongue has the power of life and death. It's really sharp, right? And I know that I can think of times where I have been careless with my words. We've broken relationships, offended people who never come back, families that don't get along together. It is so easy to tear down with our words. And unfortunately, that seems to be our nature. As Christians, our speech should reflect what's happening on the inside. When we speak to people, the goal is, the hope is, that they would recognize Christ in us and that they would actually recognize through Christ their own worth, their potential, the hope that they have, the life that they can live. And I am particularly convicted about the way I speak to people. I think about all the unwise things, so many things, you know, and you just say things without thinking. And I can't help but desire that wisdom from that first verse, Proverbs 10:11. I can't help but desire wisdom that's a source of blessing. And I think, you know, maybe I need to read more books. Maybe I need to do some more theological study. You know, I was watching the YouTube sermons that I've missed. Maybe I am too quick to anger, like Reese when he drives. Maybe I don't have this. Yeah, I'm just picking on you, aren't I? I don't have the sufficient revelation that Daniel spoke about. What is it that we're missing? It's not just wisdom, but it says, out of the mouth of the righteous man. Am I a righteous man? Is it wisdom that I'm looking for, or is it righteousness? Is it righteousness that brings me wisdom, Or is it my own ability? And we're all guilty of this, relying on our own strength. And I particularly try this all the time. I will run at that wall until I am really cranky and I'm mean with my words. Most people have experienced that. But we should be seeking righteousness. So if righteousness is the quality that provides us with wisdom, what is that? What does that look like? Well, righteousness is being morally right or justifiable. We often try to work at that, right? You know, we read the Bible and we know what the rules are. It's pretty clear. Most of us here will know what's right and wrong. We've got the Ten Commandments at a minimum. We know what is right and wrong. And we can at times try to do that on our own. And we can get legalistic, right? We can get upset at people for not doing the right thing, not coming to church, not speaking lovingly, or I don't know, lusting after your neighbor's new car or whatever it is. We find ourselves very quickly falling short, but also very quickly pointing at other people for their shortcomings. The Bible also says that even our best attempts at righteousness are defiled like unclean rags. Now, I could go further into what unclean rags is, but I don't want to. It's not nice. Unclean rags. Such a blow to our ego, isn't it? To our own opinion of ourselves. Even our best is nothing. So we need to be right standing with God. What does that mean? Romans 3:10 reminds us that no one is righteous, not one. And that we cannot obtain wisdom that Proverbs is talking about on our own. But actually, we can only obtain righteousness through Jesus. Now, Romans 5, 19 to 21. I just said this in passing yesterday. There's three verses that say the same thing three times. So you'd think that it's really important. So I'm going to read it. It says, for just as the disobedience of one man, as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners. Also through the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. And then it goes on to say, the law was brought in so that the trespass may increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded even more. So that, just as sin reigned in death, so may grace reign through the righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sorry for the different translations. And just as Adam and Eve, as Adam sinned, Jesus' sacrifice is what makes us righteous. It also touches, this verse also touches on the law. It also says, actually, that the law brings us to the knowledge of our lack of righteousness, of our sin. But again, Jesus comes to fulfill that. So it is through grace in Jesus Christ that we are made righteous. And it is through his gift of the Holy Spirit, when he sent a helper and a comforter, that we are changed. So in our pursuit for wisdom, our pursuit should rather be of righteousness. And it's essential that we actually rely on the Holy Spirit to change us, to provide for us. So I've thought about that. I've thought about what are three things that we can do today as Christians for us to seek this righteousness, for us to seek right standing with God. And all three of them rely on one other person, and that's the Holy Spirit. So I'll give you these three tips. In our pursuit for wisdom and righteousness, we need to read God's word. We need to read scripture so that it dwells in us. It is part of us. and it can change us. And I think further than just reading scripture for scripture's sake, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to explain it to you? Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as a helper, as a comforter. Let's ask him to explain the scripture to us. Number two, I said before, we often try in our own strength to do the right thing. What if we kept doing that, but asked the Holy Spirit to help us? Acts 1:8 says, you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit and he will come upon you and you will be my witness. Man, that sounds exciting. The Holy Spirit comes upon me and I will witness for Christ. Not in my own strength, but in the Holy Spirit's strength. The Holy Spirit provides power to enable us to share the gospel with others. For the energy, for the strength to come and serve on a Sunday, or not even on a Sunday, come and serve your community. It enables us to demonstrate Jesus Christ. Not me, not my shortcomings that I spoke about before that are so obvious to people, but if the Holy Spirit changes our actions, then we actually are reflecting Christ. And I thought about this further. This is actually like a Christian superpower. And I, again, summarizing what I think Reese has said many times to me before. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, speaking to us, directing us. The power of that in your life, in your workplace, is you can't underestimate that, right? If you're at work and you don't know what to do, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you? If you are in a hard situation with your kids and they're being rat bags, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit what to do? The Holy Spirit's prompting's not wrong, never will be, never can be. Imagine having the power to make the right choice all the time. Well, we do. We don't have to imagine. We do. I like that thought of Christians having a competitive edge, you know. My kid's better than that kid because he's got Jesus, you know. I like that. I'm not that competitive. Number three, the third thing in our pursuit for wisdom and righteousness is to ask God to change our hearts. And this is huge. This is a big one, right? Because we are selfish. We are easily angered. We are quick to judge. We are hot-tempered, I guess. Ezekiel 36 says, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit will be put within you. That the old is gone and the new has come. Our hearts can change. And I don't want to gloss over this too lightly, but this is the power of healing too, right? Many of us have had some sort of pain in our lives, a loss of a loved one, an unfair experience. I can't even think to try and name half of them. The Holy Spirit can work on our hearts and work on us to make us soft again. He can work on us to change our desires. Me, I want that. I want to change my desires to be holy. I want to change my desires to be ones that are aligned with God's will. The Holy Spirit and God can change us to the point where we start to hate sin and love righteousness. I haven't reached that yet. But I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to keep asking God that he would do that in me. So seeking wisdom is seeking righteousness, seeking the Holy Spirit. And we just continue to ask that God would align our hearts, my heart, your heart, to be reflecting his will. Another one of my favorite verses, Matthew 12, says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is your heart filled with grace? Is it filled with love? Is it filled with truth? Because maybe my heart, my words, that I said before, I've been careless and I've hurt, but maybe if my heart was so full, my words would be more wise, but they would be more compassionate. And that first Proverbs verse says that it actually becomes our blessing. And I think that blessing is sort of what I was talking about before in terms of this Christian superpower. But as we speak kindly, as we start to reflect Christ's love, your marriage gets stronger. Your relationships with each other get stronger. This church gets stronger. More people are here. We are reaching communities better. We are telling people more confidently, more effectively that Jesus loves them. I want my heart to be full of love and grace. And I wouldn't be complete if I didn't mention the fruits of the Spirit, right? As we change and as our hearts change and as we become more Christ-like and we follow God's will for our lives, we start to display those fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the goal. That's the goal of wisdom, right? Those fruits are what you see in wise people. It's about that transformation, living in a way that honors God and serves others. I'm going to finish up on that because I feel like anything more I say, it becomes too much. But I'm going to rehash those three things again. So this is what I want to get from today. We're going to ask God to explain scripture to us. If you're not in a small group, get in one. If you're not reading the Bible, why not? If you're not talking about scripture, ask God to help you understand it and read it more. We're going to ask God to empower our actions. We're going to ask him what to do, when to do it, what the right thing to do is. We're going to ask him to change the way we behave. And we're going to ask him to change our hearts, to make us soft again, to make us whole and right, to put his desire in our hearts so that we're no longer living for ourselves, but we're living for Christ. So I'm going to pray and we're going to finish up and I'm going to pray. And look, if you would like to talk a little bit more, the ministry team will be the front, Dan and Megan, just there. So go chat with them or myself and Reese offices. But I'm going to pray. If you pray with me, Lord, Father, we seek your guidance today. And God, we ask that you align our hearts with yours, God, transforming our desires to reflect your love. Help us to be sensitive to those around us. Help us to be discerning. Lord, make our thoughts and our intentions reflect you. God, we pray that we would speak words of life, that the words we speak would be filled with kindness and encouragement and hope. Give us wisdom to recognize the power in our words, Lord, and may we choose to heal each other rather than harm each other. God, teach us to be mindful of our words' impact. And Lord, may we inspire and lift each other up. Let us be your people, Lord. Let our mouths be fountains of life, overflowing with hope and encouragement. Lord, we want to reflect you in every interaction. God, I pray that as we leave this morning, as we go out to the cafe, as we go out for lunch, as we go into our community, that we would continue to share your love through our words. Lord, we want to honor you. Lord, we want to be righteous. We want to be right standing with you. In your name, amen. Thank you for attending today, joining us. Arnie's happy to be here. Go grab a coffee. Why don't you encourage each other? Why don't you say something uplifting to your friends this morning?